what's going to be happening. Tell us a little bit.
Okay, so I'm going in a couple of weeks to South Africa for 3 weeks, and then Mozambique for 6 weeks, and then India for 2 weeks at the end. I'm attending a mission school called the Harvest Ministry School, and it's under the banner of Iris Ministries. So I'm really excited for all that God has planned for this time. I think that God's been leading me to do something like this for many, many years, and I'm excited for what he has planned. And I just graduated from nursing school, so I'll get to do a little bit of nursing over there, but also a lot of other stuff, too. And in India, that's like the outreach trip. I tagged into the end of the ministry school. And while I'm in India, I'll be in Calcutta, working in the slums and doing outreach with prostitutes and with kids that are in the slums. We're going to be hosting Christmas parties, because it's right before Christmas. So please pray for me, pray for safety, pray that I'll have an open heart towards God's leading and open ears to his voice. So,
All right. Well, we're excited to send you, but to get you back as well. And so let us remember Hannah in the next few months as she is on this journey. And Hannah, I don't want to turn my back to you. Why don't you come over here anyway? And you come right over here, Joel. Joel.
I'll let Brian explain this, actually.
Okay. Joel and Brian have been doing something pretty interesting for the last few years.
About 3 years,
yeah. And they just felt a call from God to do this, to launch out in this direction. And so tell us a little bit about what I'm talking about, Joel.
All right. Well, I run a ministry called Bagels Ministry, and we work in the homeless camps where people have set up tents. And sometimes we do work with the prostitutes. That's actually how we started out. But a lot of what we do is not gospel presentation. It's not standing up with the Bible or preaching or anything of that sort. A lot of these people know Jesus. A lot of those people have faith. A lot of what we do is actually addiction ministry, help work through people's addictions, and mainly we're just there being examples of Christ and being friends. Being homeless is a very, very lonely state, and these people would just kill for a good friend. And so right now, I mean, that's pretty much Brian and I's sole focus, is to show Christ, live as we believe Christ would have lived, and be a friend.
And so you've also done some work with prostitutes in Fairbanks. Tell us about that.
So how that started is we picked up a guy, and he judged us for two young men who were looking for some action, and he told us where we could find it. So Brian and I were like, okay, sounds good. So we went down there, and we just started praying. And that's actually how our ministry started. So we went down to the street where we were told we could find people, and we kept driving back and forth, and we did that probably like 3 times a week for a couple months, and we kind of didn't ever see anyone. We're like, well, I guess that's that, so maybe we should focus somewhere different. And that night, a woman jumped into the back of my car, and I was like, hi! So ever since then, we have a few connections. I would estimate that in Fairbanks, we have about 25 to 30 women and maybe about 15 to 20 men working as prostitutes. And it's just something that a lot of people don't know. So why this is important, why I'm up here now, is because last week I quit my job to kind of pursue this full time. And I forgot to mention that first service. But that's why I'm up here now as opposed to last week or next week. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so what are they saying in the homeless camps when you tell them about the well starting up?
Oh, they were super excited. When I was mentioning the well, they a lot of them had gone 2 years prior, and they're like, oh, we can't believe that it wasn't there last year, and we really love to see people there. And something that one guy even pointed out, he goes, I love that we pray over the meal and that there's like this little sermon that's running kind of in the background while we're eating. And he's like, I really like that because it makes me feel like I'm really included and like I'm part of the church. So that's, I'm excited to volunteer at the well again.
Cool. Well, I'm not there this week, so who's going to give that little sermonette?
Are you on?
Who's going to give that little sermon?
I think I'm a volunteer.
Joel's going to do it. Okay. All right. Okay, so these guys, I've got Brian and Joel's card here. It's called Bagels Ministries. It stands for Biblical and Godly Evangelistic Life Service. Isn't that what we're all called into? Biblical and Godly Evangelistic Life Service.
Spreading the gospel like cream cheese. That's right.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's pray over them. Okay. Let's just put out your hand and let's just bless these two. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up, first of all, Hannah as she prepares to go. And thank you that you have been working on her, inspiring her, giving her vision for this for many years now. And you have prepared her. And she is going to go and receive more training and then minister in the name of Jesus on the other side of the world. So we pray, Lord, that you would cover her with your angels of protection. Lord, that you would open the eyes of her heart to see what you are doing and then to get in line with what you are doing. That you would open her ears to hear what you want to teach her and where people are crying out for help, that you would use her, and that she would see miracles done in your name. Through her, we commit her to you, Lord, and send her in your mighty name. And Lord, for Joel, we want to thank you for putting upon Joel and Brian's heart this sense of calling to the downtrodden of Fairbanks. Those who have been trafficked, those who are homeless, those who are addicted. We ask, Lord, that you would pour forth wisdom upon these guys, that they would move only where you say to move, do only what you say to do, that they would have discernment to know, ears to hear, so they know that this isn't just them moving, but you moving them. And so I just pray protection over Joel and Brian, and we just thank you, Lord, for the witness of Brian and Joel and Hannah's lives, and we just bless them and send them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Joel has, at the request of Hannah, as a part of worship, but it ties right in with the message, he has written a spoken word, and he's going to tell you a little bit about what that means and share the spoken word with you.
So spoken word is a type of poetry. It's kind of a weird type of poetry. It's pretty much a cross between rap and just straight-up prose. It doesn't rhyme on every line. And it's meant to keep you on your toes. So that's that's kind of what I'm doing. This is a poem that I wrote this week about discipleship. It's called Plugged In. It's about being plugged into what God's trying to teach us. Dear Jesus, I want to be plugged in to you. You created my body to run off of electricity, but the current is soft and the motor is weak. Every heartbeat draws from my finite battery. Jesus, help me to be plugged in to you. You have an infinite power that my body simply can't handle. The static shocks, the muscles contract erratic, twitches and spastics, the panic sets in, the damage is drastic, it hurts. The current travels through me, hitting every muscle, tendon, and artery, showing no bias. The sharp sting strikes every orifice and pore, supercharged. I get a glimpse of who you are. My eyes only see shapes and faces, places and races. Your eyes see hearts and intents, pains, insecurities, and impurities. And my voice declares blessings and curses in the same breath. Your voice created the universe and called Lazarus out from the hands of death. My hands can only reassemble what I was given to begin. Your hands were spilled. Your hands were spiked through to taking the blame for my sin. And my heart only wants to love those who show love to me. Your heart loved those who had you whipped and beat. God, help me to be plugged in to you. I want my eyes to see people just as they are. I don't want to see homeless, poor, rich, white. I want to see beloved, son, daughter, worthy of sacrifice. I want my voice to learn a new language. The only ones I can speak on my own are hurt, pain, death, and anguish. I want to speak the language of heaven above. Joy, peace, sacrifice, love. These hands, they speak too. But only in clenched fists, pointed fingers, and scraped knuckles. I want my hands to speak as yours did. In embraces, soft touches, and open palms. My heart only beats in a certain rhythm. Your heart stopped beating. And I was forgiven. God, I need to be plugged in to you. Today's scripture reading is, the first reading today is out of Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, in the Pew Bible. It's in the Old Testament on page 537, that's 537. And that's verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, and the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Our second reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you're about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and all his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Our third reading, still in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 46 and 47. He said to them, Take to heart all the words that I am giving and witnessed against you today. Give them as a command to your children, so that they may diligently observe all the words of this law. This is no trifling matter for you, but rather your very life. Through it, you may live long in the land that you are crossing over the Jordan to possess. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you. Thank you so much for writing that spoken word and speaking that word. As Hannah and Mary and Leah were doing some practice this week and singing that song, No Longer a Slave to Fear, I was like, man, that is the perfect song for the sermon series, D6, because the whole background of Deuteronomy is that the Lord split the sea so we could walk right through it. You know, that the Lord delivered us from slavery, from bondage, and therefore we will walk in his ways. Therefore, we will declare his praise. Therefore, we will tell our children and the coming generations about the mighty deeds of God. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer then. Lord, we want to thank you that you are a God who still splits seas. You are a God who still delivers. We ask that you would speak your word proclaimed now. Continue doing it, that we may be more fully equipped to be your children, your treasured possession. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is Leah's last Sunday here, too, before she takes off to college until December. And sad to see Leah go. Hannah, I get 4 more days with her after I get back from moose hunting. But I tell you, it makes me proud today to have Hannah and Joel and Brian, sort of, up here and to commission them. Because these are young people that are really a product of our ministry. Hannah, raised here in the church from the age of 3. Joel, less time here, and Brian, less time here, but still maybe the last 8 years or so, a part of this body, a part of the youth ministry. So David has had a lot of influence in Joel and Brian's lives. And I'm just very proud of how seriously they are taking their discipleship. They're taking following Jesus and how hungry they are to grow more deeply in the things of God, in the knowledge and the love of God. And the reality is they're not the only ones. It's not just these 3, obviously, because I know, you know, we've got a lot of our young people who raised in at least for times in this church, you know, have a great zeal for the Lord and are seeking to glorify God and walk as faithful, committed followers of Jesus, have a deep hunger to grow and to step out in faith, like that other song that we sang. I'm trying to think of what that was. It was, you know, I want to step out. What is it called? Oceans, yeah. You know, help me to, you know, step out where my faith has no borders. You know, and really that is what walking in faith is. I mean, the Israelites, when they stood at that sea, it looked impossible for them. How many of you have faced things in your life that look impossible? Yeah. And the Lord is saying, step into that water. And it was as they step into the water that the seas part. It's like Jesus so often in the Gospels, you know, would bring healing to people, and it was as they stood up, their feet, their legs were made strong, and a lame person is walking. You know, or as they wash in the pool, their eyes are cleansed and they can see. Well, for the past few weeks, we've planted ourselves in one of the most formative and important texts in the Old Testament, and really in the whole Bible. Deuteronomy 6:4 and following is really a discipleship passage. You know, we could say that when Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, he could say, and as you do that, keep Deuteronomy 6, 4, and following in mind. The Shema, as the Jews called it for so many years, still call it today. And as I've said, for committed Jewish people, this is the Shema is something that was recited, is still recited twice a day. One of the first words that is taught to their little babies as they just begin to speak, they're taught, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And it goes on. The Shema is really Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. But in liturgical circles in Judaism, it actually encompasses two other passages. And those passages are Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21, and Numbers 15, 37 to 41. Today, we're looking at one verse, like we've been kind of picking our way through six messages, D6, Deuteronomy 6. And today we're on this theme of declare. And declare where it says, teach these words diligently. But let's go to that next slide. And would you recite with me just that first few verses of the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you shall be on your heart. You shall teach these words diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. If these words are so important for people of faith, then we have to ask the question, how do we apply this regularly into our lives? How do we live out this passage and give this passage primary place in our lives? In our verse for today, we're given two commands, to teach and to talk. And the wording that follows, to talk about these when you are, you know, and the wording implies that wherever you are, whenever you are, at all times, at all places, in all contexts, talk about these things. Talk about the commands of the Lord. Talk about what the Word of God says about God's love for you, about who you are, your identity in Him. Talk about His mighty deeds, how He continues, has in the past done mighty works, miracles, and still does these things today. Talk and talk and talk. Be prepared in season and out of season to speak of these things, particularly to your children. So, how do we do this? In many ways, the passage is self-explanatory, right? That's pretty obvious, right? Okay, teach, talk. But I think it does need to be unpacked a little bit, and so that's what we're going to do. So first of all, the passage says, diligently communicate God's word to your children. So look at that word, diligent. Diligently, conscientiously, attentively, carefully, persistently, thoroughly, creatively engage your children in conversations about faith. Instruct them. Tell them. Talk, talk, talk. Don't give up on it. This is the charge that is given to us. There is no ambiguity here. It is so crystal clear, isn't it? There's no like, well, what does it mean to talk about these things? There's no question about what does it mean to teach these things? It's very, very clear. It is obviously also no half-hearted endeavor. It's not something that we just kind of, well, I'll be casual in my proclamation of faith to my children as I raise them, or my children's children, or the children of our church family. No, it is a very intentional, not just for Sundays, but as you sit and rise, as you go, as you lie down, at all times and at all places, speak, 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 because this is so important. We've got to get this through. So it's a great and serious task given to us and to each generation to pass on the word of God, the commands of God, to tell of the mighty deeds of God and the wonders to every generation. So the best of our attention, in other words, I think according to what the writer is saying, is the best of our energies, the best of our efforts needs to be focused here, not elsewhere. When we are giving the best of our energies to all these other things, we're distracted, in effect. He says, give it all here,
This is serious work, sharing the commands and the mighty works of God to our children. Specifically, of course, it refers to one's very own children, one's birth children. But it also refers to your grandchildren. How are they doing? Are they getting these stories and these commands and what the Lord says about who He is and who they are spoken into their lives? It also refers to all of us in the body of Christ, doesn't it? Because we as a church, we practice baptism of children and adults, but when we baptize children, the question is always asked of the covenant community of faith: will you pray for this child and help this child to grow as a disciple of Jesus? And so we all become, in that sense, spiritual parents of the children around us. And that gives us responsibility to teach, responsibility to speak of the mighty deeds of God. So let us commit ourselves. And of course, it also means that we must know some things. We need to know God's Word. Because how can we tell the stories of God if we don't know the stories of God? And how can we guide our children if we ourselves don't know the way? If we ourselves are not really being guided daily by the Lord? And how can we pass on a living faith if our own faith is stagnant or weak? We want to pass on a living, dynamic faith. And so it's incumbent upon all of us to take our own faith journey seriously. And this fundamentally, this means that our faith has to be right in the very center of our heart. And Dave last week talked about verse 6. Keep this word upon your heart, in your heart. Jesus had said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure? And the Word of God constantly is saying, treasure the Lord. Treasure His Word. And so we need to be diligent about it. Commit ourselves to diligently sharing God's Word with our children. Secondly, it's helpful as we think about this to have a vision, I think, of what is your vision for your children? What is our vision as a congregation for our children's own faith development? What is your vision for your own faith development? What does it mean to be a disciple in the 21st century? What does this look like? Because if we don't know what it looks like in some way, we don't know where we're going. So we need to have a vision of this preferable future, of what God wants to see formed in our lives personally and in our children's lives. Science writer Hope Jaron shares an interesting fact about plants, especially how a tiny seed starts to put down roots, the most essential thing for a plant to survive. What do they call that root that comes out first? The taproot, right? And the taproot goes down. It faces risk as the first root. It has to be nurtured in some way, and if it is nurtured, it will eventually find water, it will find nutrients, and it will do what it needs to do as one of its first orders of business, and that is to anchor. To anchor that plant so that it's not just going to get blown off out of the soil when the wind comes up or something like that. Once that first root is extended, the plant will never again enjoy the hope of relocating to a place less cold, she says, less dry, less dangerous. Indeed, it will face frost, drought, and greedy jaws without any possibility of flight. She calls taking root the big gamble for a little plant. But if the seed takes root, it can go down 12, 30, 40 meters, and the results are powerful. The tree's roots can swell and split bedrock and move gallons of water daily for years, much more effectively than any pump yet invented by man. If the root takes root, then the plant becomes all but indestructible. Tear apart everything above ground, everything, and most plants can still grow rebelliously back from such devastation. And so when we think about our own lives and our own children's lives, one of the things that we want to do is we want to cultivate the seed. We want to cultivate this little plant so that its taproot goes down and it anchors into the Word of God. What is your vision for your child's growth and development? Discipling our children means to anchor them in Jesus Christ. It means to anchor them in the promises of God. And that's no gamble. But it is something that requires great intentionality. We need to have a plan. We need to pray over our children. We need to model to our children, put effort into nurturing that little plant so that it grows very strong in the Lord. Wouldn't you agree with me that it is not enough for our children to simply grow up and become slightly religious people? Maybe, in fact, we don't want them to be religious people at all. We want them to be people of deep faith. It's not enough for our children to grow up and have just kind of a basic sense of moral boundaries, to go to church some, or even to go to church regularly but not have any dynamic faith. What we want, our vision and God's vision for our children, is that they be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Our vision for our children is that they would know God's deep love, the Father's deep love for them, that they would experience the Father's deep love, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit daily and step out in boldness to do the things that Jesus calls us to do. Our vision for ourselves and for our children, is it not to be deeply rooted in His Word, to share His Word and to walk in His Word, to be people full of compassion. Compassion like we just heard about. That's willing to go around the world. Compassion that would drive us to go into the slums of Calcutta, to go into the homeless camps of Fairbanks. Compassion and love that is willing to drive us out of our comfort zone so we don't just huddle in our little living rooms and comfortably watch TV around a wood stove. But step out and trust God in bold ways. That's what we want, I think, to be people full of joy. It's what God wants. So it's far more important to cultivate that than to cultivate strong athleticism in our children. You may want your child to be good in football or hockey or something like that, but that's nothing compared to what we're talking about here. We may want our children to grow up and be good wage earners, competent in the business world, excellent in college, universities, and high school. But still, that pales by comparison to what the Word of God is calling us to, this deep-rooted faith. This is what God is saying. And it's so easy to let our vision be misdirected into all these other priorities and values of our culture. But the Word of God is saying, be first and foremost a child of God. No longer a slave to fear, but a child of God. As parents and as a church, we must take the job of making disciples of our children very seriously. Now, lastly, and this is a little redundant, that we as parents must be very purposeful about our children's Christian formation. We must be purposeful. This means that it's important for you and your child to be your child's, it's more important for you to be your child's parent than it is for you to be your child's friend. Did you get that? It's more important to be your child's parent than to be your child's friend. What do I mean by this? Well, I see a lot of parents sometimes that don't want their child to be like put off by them. So they just want to be a buddy to their child. And they're not going to do anything to rock their child's boat. They're not going to say, this is the standard in this household. This is the rule here. Here's the boundary. Go beyond this. There are consequences. I'm tasked with forming you. I am tasked as a parent with leading you in the way of wisdom. I am tasked as a parent with helping you to know what is right and what is wrong in the world, with setting right boundaries and healthy, helpful, and realistic guidelines for your life. I am tasked with declaring the Word of God to you and letting you fully know how deeply loved you are as His child, letting you know who you are, that you are more than just a kid in the school system, but you're a child of God. You are beloved of God. You are chosen by God. You are precious in His sight. What is more important than that? Nothing is more important than that. I believe that kids, in my experience, will respond positively to laying clear, healthy boundaries. For you to be a parent, they're going to love you more. They're going to respect you more. If you stand up and say, here's where we stand as a family, this is what we're going to do. They'll respect you far more if you say, here are some of the disciplines, the routines we're going to have in our family. We're going to read the scriptures at some point. We're going to seek to do this every day. We're going to talk about the things of God. I'm going to talk about how my faith is relating to my life, my work in the world. How is your faith, by the way, relating to your life at school? Where does it come in? Where's God at for you in elementary school? Do you notice that God is with you? I mean, to engage them, to be intentional about this, to establish routines of saying, you know, we're going to make the worship of God every Sunday the highest priority in our home. We're going to make Sunday school the highest priority in our home. And when you're old enough, we're going to go to Roots, 5th and 6th graders. That's going to be what we're going to do from 1 to 4 on Sunday afternoons. And when you're a youth, you're going to go to youth group from 1 to 4 because this is the highest value. This is where you're going to be formed in the most helpful and helpful way of wisdom and godliness. I'm going to be a parent to you because I love you and I'm tasked with this important responsibility. Now, remember, we're told to diligently teach our children. A lot of us maybe don't feel like we're very good teachers. But you're teaching your child by the way that you live, aren't you? And you can do your best in teaching your child. We're told to diligently talk about our faith. All of us can do that, right? You can go home from here and you can talk about the message today. And if you didn't get it all, it won't be on the website this week because Dave is out moose hunting, but it'll be on the website next week so you can come back a couple weeks later and get a refresher course. Or I'll give you a copy of my notes or something like that, or I'll talk with you. But also, our children's curriculum right now in Sunday school, the Orange curriculum as it's called, has a very helpful website. You see that website on there? Yeah. Theparentq.org. Now, Connie tells me that you can download the app, theparentq.org, and it will give you questions to ask your child to help them engage the material that they're getting on Sunday morning. How helpful is that? It is also helpful because it tells you, you know, it gives you stories to share with your children for bedtime. As they're going to bed, to just kind of read a Bible story. And then it also gives you video downloads that they can download a video and they can watch a video that is going to engage them in the way of faith. I think one of our tasks as parents is to try to build a fire under our children. To build a fire of faith. Now, of course, that implies also that we have a fire under our own belly. In our own belly, a fire of faith. And so how do we cultivate fire in us so that we really are burning for the Lord? Well, there's a lot of ways. One thing is to ask the Lord to give you fire. Lord, give me a burning fire for you. Lord, help me to see where you're moving. Help me to step out of my comfort zone and walk by faith. You'll build a fire. Other ways that are going to help you to build a fire, I think, is by reading stories of faith. And there's a lot of them. And, you know, some of the reading that Hannah's doing in preparation for this school of ministry, I just want to share these with you. You can write them down if you're interested in reading a really exciting book. One of four of these is going to be really exciting. Read all four of them. Here's the first one, Voice in the Night. The True Story of the Man in Miracles That Are Changing Africa by Pastor Suprese. He works with Iris Ministries. He's a guy who has seen the dead raised many times in his ministry in Africa. By the way, for it to be a documented raising of the dead, I think it has to be 3 days the person is dead. So this isn't just like fabricated. It's like the person is dead. No heartbeat for 3 days, and they raise them from the dead. That's pretty remarkable. Okay, so, or maybe it's not quite 3 days, but it's a long time anyway. I can't remember quite what it is. So read these stories. Another one, Always Enough by Heidi and Roland Baker. Heidi and Roland Baker, missionaries, were missionaries to Indonesia and now are in Mozambique, and they run the Iris School. And Heidi Baker has written several books. This is one of them. Almost Enough. Her stuff is very inspirational. Bruchko by Bruce Olson. The story of a young man who felt the call of God to go to the mission field, went to Venezuela, got to Venezuela, kind of like no mission board or anything like that, just kind of went to Venezuela, like a couple of people I know are going to do in our church. Joel and Brian are talking, or Brian is going to go to Africa.
We're going to Mozambique.
You're going to Mozambique too, but yeah. Anyway, we'll hear more about that later. So this guy goes to Venezuela, and he goes out and finds that there's a tribe out there that's unreached in the middle of the jungle, and goes out and finds them all by himself, and ends up translating the Bible and doing and sharing the gospel, learning their language. And it's a fascinating story of how God is at work through this guy. God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew. Those are just four examples. Establish these routines. You maybe do a read aloud. You know, I mean, Mary and I have done that many times, just read a book out loud together, and that's a great thing to do. And then you're both getting blessed, and you're also taking time to do something of value together as a couple. So there are lots of reasons why to take this teaching seriously. Five of them are listed in our readings for today. Here they are. So that it may go well with you. Well, who doesn't want that? For it to go well with us, right? Because you are a people holy to the Lord your God, you are God's chosen people and treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's a good reason. So our children don't lose hope. We don't want our children to lose hope. The Word of God will infuse hope into us. And it's not just mindless hope, it's true hope. So our children know the Lord and don't forget his deeds. That is so important. That they know the Lord and don't forget his deeds. So our children won't rebel against the Lord. That is so important. Now, we can do all this, and our children will still rebel. Okay? I'm a living testimony to that. Because I rebelled. In fact, all five of us rebelled in my family growing up. But my parents instilled in us the principles of faith. They loved us and they modeled for us imperfectly, but pretty well, a lifestyle of faith. And all of us, while we rebelled for a very short time, all came back to faith and are walking with the Lord today. And I praise God for that, and I thank my parents for following this counsel in their own lives. We need to do that. If you're not doing it, get started. Take this seriously. You are called to be a spiritual father and mother to the children of this church. If you have children, you are definitely called to be a spiritual father or mother to your own children. It's the best you can give them. It is what it means to love your children. To ignore this, that is to not love your children. Love them. They need this. You'll be blessed and they'll be blessed. The world will be blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is a living word. It continues to speak fresh in every age. And you have never changed. You are still a God who does mighty miracles. We ask that you would show us more of them and give us grace and faith to step out and trust you for things that will release you to move. Help us in our parenting of the children of this church to walk in biblical faithfulness for your glory and the joy and health of our children. Amen.